had the team singing a special they were going to work on to sing for Brother Stevens back there in the back during Sunday school, and I just kind of had to sit back and just relish in it for a while. It was good. It was good. They were going to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." Amen? Amen? "It Is Well With My Soul." All right. As you know by now, this weekend has been filled with a lot of turmoil for folks in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. With Brother Stevens having a mild stroke and having to go through the process of recovery, we miss him. And to one degree or another, it's shaken everyone in the congregation. And I was busy just making hospital visits and setting up people to cover the services and trying to decide how to handle this whole series of events that the Lord has put us in the middle of. And I was driving down the road, and my wife reminded me that this weekend is what most of the world recognizes and celebrates as Easter Sunday. And I had completely forgotten. The thought hadn't even crossed my mind, to be perfectly honest with you. And I don't necessarily have time to, or the desire right now to go into Easter bunnies and all the hoopla associated with, you know, Ishtar and Samaramis and Nimrod and the whole lineage there. But I would like you to open your Bibles here to the book of Revelation and just remind you something out of your Bible that will be a help to you in the midst of what we're going through and in your Christian life. And if you're not a Christian yet today, if you've never been saved, I hope this will still be a help to you because it's a principle that you need to get a hold of. But open your Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And we'll start by reading verse 1. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says this. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that, Lord, you would help us here this morning. Lord, you're a great and a mighty God, and we are grateful for just the opportunity to have a Bible, to have our sins forgiven, washed away by the Son, by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful, Father, to be a part of a congregation that tries to honor the book and honor the true God. And I just pray that you bless everything that's said here this morning, this evening from this pulpit. And I pray that it be a help to the folks that are here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you know Revelation chapter 4. John's on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord comes down and basically shows him some things that are going to be happening. And in verse 1, he hears that that statement, "Come up hither." So there you got, there it is, guys. You got your resurrection message this morning. Amen? John gets called up, and he gets called out of this earth. And I don't know about you, but one of these days, I hope to hear that trumpet sound. Amen? I hope to hear that trumpet sound. I hope to hear my name called. I hope to hear, Bob Grissom, come up hither. I'll gladly answer, yes, sir. In fact, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. I think on the way up, just for old time's sake, I'm going to give a loud and an enthusiastic, rowdy Marine Corps, "Oorah!" I just think it'd be appropriate. I don't know. Then I got to wondering, is the Lord going to call me Bob or Robert? You think of weird things once in a while when you're trying to get a sermon ready, as I'm sure is quite evident in some of the illustrations I have occasionally. But I'm looking forward to that day. I really am. I really am. Take a look back in your Bible at the book of Revelation. And it says, starting again, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and Round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gives glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. I got to reading that passage of Scripture, and I thought to myself, you know what? What a sight. What an amazing sight that is going to be. What an inspiration. I want to be there when that happens. In fact, you know what? I am going to be there when that happens. The Lord's going to call us up out of here, and then we're going to sit there, and we're going to get to see some of that stuff happening, and we're going to be there when those 4 and 20 beasts start saying glory and honor and thanks to God. Now, you know, if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is, if you're lost here this morning, if you've never been born again, you're going to miss this whole thing. I mean, what a sight John saw being taken up from the Isle of Patmos and being transported up to the third heaven and getting a chance to have the doors and the windows of heaven kind of open up, the curtain pulled back, and get a chance to see what's actually going on up there in the spiritual realm in heaven, the place where God actually abodes. And you're going to miss all that. You're going to miss all that. And if you're lost here this morning, maybe you're sitting back there thinking, big deal. Not that big a deal. But you know what? It is a big deal. Amen? It is a big deal. Because there's only two options if you don't get saved. There's only two other options. One, you have either already died and you're in hell, burning in the lake of fire with torments, and you have no hope, no Savior, and no chance to escape forever. Or two, you haven't died yet, and you're still alive on this earth, and you're getting ready to go through the tribulation where the Antichrist comes down and face all those plagues, the famine, the starvation, the third of the stars falling out of the sky, the sun turning into blood, and the waters turning into blood, and the sun going dark, and all that stuff that it's going to go on through the tribulation. And then you'll die and burn in hell with no hope, no Savior, no chance of escape forever. It is a big deal. Amen? It is a big deal. But if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? This is going to be a glorious day. It's going to be an amazing time and a glorious day, brethren. I'm looking forward to it. Take a look at verses 8 and 9 again. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The four beasts. They give three things here in this passage. They give glory, which is a very great praise. It is a distinction bestowed on somebody or someone by common consent. It's glory, and they're given that to the Lord Jesus Christ. They give the second thing they give is they give honor, which is a high respect as for worth, merit, or rank. They give the Lord Jesus Christ honor. I remember one time I went down to a karate tournament. I just went down to watch one of these karate tournaments here in town, and it was one of the bigger tournaments nationally. It's Diamond Nationals. And you get a lot of showmanship in the martial arts tournaments and forms competition, and you get a chance to watch them. And I remember one thing I don't remember much about the tournament, but there's one thing that's always etched in my mind since that day, and I thought it was kind of neat. It was showmanship, I understand, but normally when you get up in front of the judges and you start to compete, you'll stand and you'll bow to show respect to the judges, and then you'll perform your routine, and then they will judge you, just very similar to the Olympics, to ice skating or gymnastics or something like that. Well, everybody, the competition's very intense, and everybody's trying to get a little edge and get something that makes their performance stand out more than someone else's. And so I remember walking in and watching this one particular ring, and this young guy got up, and before he started to do his form, he came up really sharp, snapped to attention, and he dropped to one knee. You guys over there can't see me. Dropped to one knee, brought his hands around like this, and dropped his head for his bow. And I thought, that's pretty cool. You know, I thought, that stood out. That was very unusual. And ever since that day, I've always imagined, if I ever do manage to get up off of my face after I see the Lord, I'd like to bow like that to him. Why? Because he's worthy of high respect. Because he's worthy of the honor. Because he merits it. And the third thing that they give, the third thing that those three beasts give, is thanks. A grateful feeling or acknowledgement of benefit or favor. But those beasts give thanks. Now, look back at you, if you will, back at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and let's go down to verse 9. And when those beasts give honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne, and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now hopefully maybe you can kind of see where this is going this morning. But I was reading through that passage, looking at that passage, and I noticed, you know what? You got the beast, you got the 24 elders, and the glory matches the glory. Amen? And the honor matches the honor. You know what? The thanks matches the power. The thanks matches the power. And I titled this message this morning here, The Power of Thankfulness. Just simply, The Power of Thankfulness. And in light of what we're going through as a congregation, and I'm sure what we still have yet to face, brethren, I think it's imperative that we remember to be thankful. That we remember who it is we are, what it is we're all about, what it is the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. Remember the job, the task that he's given each and every one of us, and that we remember to be thankful. And I just have 2 points here this morning, very short, very quick. The first point is simply this. Brethren, we're to give thanks for all things. We're to give thanks for all things. Now the Bible says, and you know the verses in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Chronicles 16 it says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 30 it says, To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever and ever. Giving of thanks. Brethren, who we are as individuals and what we are as a congregation is going to be tested during this trial. Who we are as individuals and what we are as a congregation is going to be tested during this trial. And one of the things you ought never let out of your grasp is the ability to give God thanks for whatever it is we go through. It's important that you remember that. It's important that you keep that in the back of your mind, irregardless of what happens from here on out. I mean, I'm very thankful that you know, we see such good news and such good progress with Brother Stevens, and everything looks great and everything looks well, but it still makes you sit back and just remember how thankful you ought to be. Listen, you may be tempted to be discouraged or disenchanted before this is all over. I know sitting here this morning, you don't think that was even possible. And maybe you'd never stoop to those low depths of default in character. But you may face some disenchantment or some discouragement along the way. Because I tell you what, neither me, nor Brother Dave, nor Brother Steve, nor Josh, nor Jeremy, nor anybody else who happens to preach can ever be a Brother Stevens. And you might, if you're going through some other things that you have piled up in your life, and you may just be tempted to be discouraged. I mean, you may even walk out of here some service and think, well, I didn't get anything out of that service. It's possible you may face that someday. And when and if you do, brethren, I ask you just to go back and remember, you ought to be thankful. You need to be thankful. You may face the feeling of being isolated. You may get, you know, during the next few months or any time really at all in Christian life, you may get to the place where you think no one cares about you. Maybe something's happened to you in your life and you haven't gotten a lot of recognition or a lot of attention, or you felt like you needed something from somebody in the congregation and they got busy and weren't able to, you know, maybe to comfort you the way that they should have comforted you. You may get to the place where you feel alone and isolated. Brethren, don't let that get you down. Don't let that get you down. Remember what our job is. Remember what our calling is. Remember what we're here for. Remember what this congregation is all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about us as individuals serving Him, irregardless of the circumstances that He puts us in. And that applies no matter what. That applies no matter what. You may be overcome with fear. Some of you may have already faced it. I mentioned it briefly this morning. Some of you may be afraid that this may happen to me, or this may happen to my husband, or this may happen to my wife, or this could happen to my parents. You know, fear is a strange, strange thing. If you're not careful, fear can incapacitate you. It can make you stop doing what you should be doing for fear that something bad may happen. Now, that happens a lot of time in scuba diving. That's how a lot of people die. Because you get down there. I was talking to somebody the other day just about, you know, experiencing fear while you're out there diving. And there have been a couple times where the Lord's gotten my attention really good. And I've had to work my way through it, face it, deal with it, so that I reach the surface on top and continue breathing this glorious air that the Lord gave us. Because when you're underwater, that's what you're thinking about, first and foremost. But fear will do some strange things to you, brother. And you know what? You may go through some times where you have to face that. Because it is a reality. None of us know what's going to happen. There is no reason, no risk factors, no reasons or anything at all why this should have happened to Brother Stevens. He's not a smoker. He's not a drinker, you know. He's not a big partier. I mean, he has a great time here at church, but you know, there's no reason why this should have happened. But the Lord brings things in our lives sometimes that are inexplicable. We don't know why. And sometimes it's scary because we're not in control. You may have to face that. You may be called to get up to the plate with a bat in your hand, baseball season analogy here, and swing away. You may be called upon to swing away. What do I mean? You may have to step up to the plate and do something maybe out of your comfort zone. Before this is all over, you may need to forgive somebody and reconcile your differences with someone. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics. There's a lot of things that can go on in a congregation when the leader is sick. A lot of weird things can happen, and brethren, we have to be on guard for that. And you may say or do something stupid on accident. You may have to go apologize to somebody. Brethren, you may need to stop yourself from just criticizing another brother or sister in the congregation. You may just lose sight of what we're all about. You say, how do you combat all these things when they come into your life? How do you combat these things? It's simple, brethren. You learn to be thankful. You know what? You learn to be thankful. You learn to keep your focus and your mind on the things that the Lord has given you and what you do have left and all the blessings that are going on in your life. And you know what? The little speed bumps on life's road along the way aren't so bad. Because they're not a Mount Everest. They're a little speed bump. But if you stop at that speed bump and you look at it and you stare at it long enough and you get down really, really close and inspect it, and you break out the microscope and you start looking at that speed bump, it's going to look pretty big. It's going to look like a big obstacle. Brethren, we need to be thankful. You ask Brother Grissom, are you thankful that this has happened to Pastor? Hey, you know what? I'm flesh and blood just like you. And I'm struggling with that very thing just like you. I know I should be. And I know down the road I'll be able to look back and see why all this has happened and watch, you know, you guys grow, watch myself grow, watch Brother Stevens grow, watch a lot of other people get blessed out of this. And in time, we stay together, we keep it moving, we'll be able to look back and say, you know, Lord, thank you for taking us through that because it's made all of us stronger. Brethren, that's where we ought to be. That's where we ought to be. Don't miss that part of the trial. See, sometimes people fall out during the beginning of the trial because of all those other things I just mentioned. And they don't get to see the glory that the Lord reveals at the end of the trial. Amen? They don't get to see the glory the Lord reveals at the end of the trial. I'm looking forward to see the Lord get glory out of this. You say, how? I have no clue. I mean, I could guess, you know, but I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord get glory out of this. Because I know in the end, He will. And I know in the grand end, when the Lord says, you know, come up hither and calls each of our name, and we're standing around watching those four beasts and those 420 elders, and we finally get up off of our face and have a chance to sit around and talk to one another a little bit up in heaven. We'll know then. And we'll be able to look back and we'll be able to understand then what this is all about. And we'll be thankful then. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always in all things. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. If we have, as a congregation, ever let this principle slip and we stop being thankful, brethren, we're doomed. We can't survive if we lose our thankfulness. Why? Because of my second point. And that is just simply this. Brethren, there's a power in being thankful that I don't think you can get any other way. There's a power in being thankful that I don't think you can get any other way. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 13 it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, brethren, thanksgiving is the sacrifice of praise. Thanksgiving is the fruit of our lips. It's the power of your prayer. I mean, you know, think about it. The ability to strengthen this congregation is going to depend upon our thankfulness, our ability to be thankful. It'll lift your spirit when nothing else in this world will lift your spirit. It'll keep your mind focused on all the good the Lord's bestowed upon you, all the good the Lord's done for you. And it'll keep your mind off of the difficulties that you're going on right now. It'll keep you from dwelling on them too much. How can you possibly have peace with God if you're not thankful to God? You know, I can hear it now. Oh God, give me your peace. I don't know why, because my car broke down. There's not enough money to go around. I hate my job. I'm losing my hair. You know, gravity's taking over. Round is a shape. You name it. But Lord, give me your peace. What a prayer, right? How can you go to the Lord like that? How can you go to the Lord? How can you go to the Lord expecting the Lord to take care of you, bless you, keep you on track, keep your chin up, if you walk around, you're not even thankful? Brethren, there's a power. Those three beasts gave glory and honor and thanks. The 24 elders gave glory and honor and power. Brethren, there's a power in being thankful that you don't want to miss. There's a power in being thankful. It is an underlying principle that a lot of your Christian walk and life and character is going to be built upon. And I know the topic comes up quite often. That's because quite often we forget about it. But I tell you what, if you don't think there's a power in thankfulness, men, try this. Go home and simply start thanking your wives for the things they do. See if that has any effect at all on your marriage. Amen? You know what? Hey, remind them that you're thankful that you married them. That may shock her. You may have some heart attacks and have some more hospital visits to go to. Hey, you know what? When you wake up in the morning and you look over at her, remind her you're thankful it's her lying there next to you. You see what that does. You see if there's not power in that. You actually being grateful for your wife. Thankful for your wife. Amen? Wives, same thing. Same thing. You know, actually try thanking your husband when they rarely, I know, occasionally get one of the honeydews off the list. You know, when they actually get something done, when they actually, you know, go out of their way to try to do something for you. You know what? Try showing them respect and honor and thankfulness. You don't think there's some power in that? You don't think that has the ability to change a lot of things? Brethren, it's a foundation. You start with that and things continue to grow and they get better. And listen, that's what the Lord expects. There's power in thankfulness. There's power in thankfulness. Kids, you know what? Be thankful for your parents. You say, well, I don't have the best parents in the world. Yeah, well, nobody else does either. I'm sure Mary and Joseph did a great job. But after that, we probably all, you know, just really blew it. But, hey, try being thankful. You know what parents want? Kids, you know what they want? They want to know that all the effort, the hard work, and in spite of all the mistakes, the ups and downs, the times they have to yell at you and tell you no, you know, that's normal. They want to know that in spite of all that stuff, you appreciate them. You appreciate them. Brethren, there's power. There's power in thankfulness. There's a power in thankfulness. And we're going to need that strength and that power as we continue on and carry on here for the next, few weeks, till Brother Stevens gets up, back on his feet, back here behind the pulpit. And then we're going to need to continue it even after that, lest we lose it and fall when he's here in the pulpit. The power of thankfulness. Sometimes I don't know how to be thankful for the things that come down the pike. No more than you do. But I know I should be. And I know I need to work on it. Go back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 9. Those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, sometimes, brethren, we fall into the trap of being able to give God glory and honor, but we fail when it comes to Thanksgiving. I want to wrap things up here. Like I said, I don't want to keep you too long today. But I just wanted you to think on those two points. And imagine this. The Lord calls John up to heaven. He says, come up hither. And what does he bring John to? He brings John up to this scene where four beasts and then 24 elders are sitting around the throne giving the Lord Jesus Christ glory and honor and thanks. That's what the Lord shows John to start with. Pretty amazing. And I'm looking forward to the scene. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And as I said earlier, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? It's very possible you could miss all that. You know, you heard the options. But if you are sitting here this morning and you're lost, you know what your problem is? The root of your problem is unthankfulness. You don't realize what the Lord Jesus Christ went through and what He gave up and what He sacrificed when He shed His blood and died on that cross to take your sins. I hope everyone in the congregation is saved, and I hope they've all received Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if you haven't, when we get ready to close things down here in just a minute, I'll invite you to come down, just shake my hand, and tell me that you're ready. You're ready to show God proper glory and honor and thanks and receive Him as your Savior. Christians, especially folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a regular basis. Our pastor may be lying in the hospital this very moment, and I'm sure he is, praying for you. Praying that you'll continue the fight. Stay in the battle. Do what the Lord would have you to do. And while we miss him, you know what? We ought to be thankful for the opportunity the Lord's given us to stay faithful during a little crisis. Amen? We ought to be thankful for an opportunity that we can take to step up to the plate and maybe take a swing or two that maybe we otherwise wouldn't have. We ought to be thankful because something like this causes us to sit back and realize or analyze life a little closer. And it gives us cause to acknowledge just all that the Lord Jesus Christ really has done for us. Just simple thankfulness, guys. You say, what are you supposed to learn out of this? I can tell you one thing. One thing is we need to learn how to be thankful. And we can't forget the lesson. If Brother Stevens were here this morning, I'm sure he'd encourage you. Give God the glory, give Him the honor, and give Him the thanks, even if you don't understand. And let's ensure that we continue to do that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, just want to bring praise and glory and honor to Your name. But Father, we do want to be thankful. You're a great God and a mighty God. You've given us so many things. Father, we can go through the Bible and pick out all kinds of illustrations and all kinds of people that have gone through struggles and trials, and You've seen them through it. Father, we can take examples out of our own lives and our own family, our friends, our parents, our kids. But the bottom line is you've been in charge of everything. And Lord, you're far more merciful than we deserve. And we do thank you for that. And I pray that you'd help Brother Stevens to recover as quickly and as completely as possible. I pray, Father, that before too awful long, he'll be right back in the pulpit preaching the Word of God to us. And I know this. I know, Father, that he's thankful for everything you've done. And I know these folks in the congregation are thankful. And I just pray that you'd help us to be even more thankful. And Lord, don't let any trial that you may send our way rob us of that thankfulness. So Lord, I pray that you bless the message. Be with Brother Dave as he prepares for tonight. And Father, I just ask you to watch over, take care of all the things that go on here in this congregation. Keep us together. Help us to love each other. And Lord, to be there for each other the way that we ought be. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you will, let's take your hymnals. We'll stand. We'll turn to number 221. Number 221. Folks, thank you for being here this morning. Again, service regular time this evening, 6 o'clock, and we'll try to get the teens together and maybe go see Brother Stevens and sing him a couple songs. So if we can make that work this evening after service, that'd be great. Other than that, there's no other announcements. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Come on.